And finally, our passage today from Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people. While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor. And they scolded her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for the opportunity to betray him.
Through this short series, if you haven't been with us, we've been thinking of moving towards Jerusalem. And so, obviously, Good Friday, Christ has arrived in Jerusalem, and we come to this day, which we know as Good Friday. And Good Friday has been called that because of the good work that happened on this day years ago. And so the church called it a good day, Good Friday. And as we move through Lent, the photographs around the sanctuary are actually all photos from Toronto Island in the winter season through Lent. And you can just imagine someone walking around and taking all these pictures. It's a choice. It's a journey. You're on that journey. You're taking the photos. There are moments, reminders of what happened. And in our own lives, it really comes down to choices. What are our choices and where are we going? And so in this passage that was just read, Bonnie, we see a number of choices. And I want us to reflect on what is our own response? What is our own choice for Christ in this season, particularly in this good day? The text refers to the woman anointing his body in preparation for his burial. So it's very much a story that's connected to the cross. And so let's reflect. There's four characters that I'm looking at briefly, and each has a different response to Jesus. We'll see how that resonates with our own walk. So the religious leaders, the choice, I'm calling it, of selfishness. So in verse 1 there, we see that it's Passover time, and there's a listing of a number of leaders. So it's referring to the establishment in Jerusalem that is responding to this whole issue of Jesus. This prophet, perhaps they call him, maybe they don't even give him that. He's from the rural area, Galilee. Nothing good comes out of Galilee. They're in Judea. They're in the big city, Jerusalem. Who is this person? And he's creating a big fuss. And lots of people are following him. And he's a nobody. He hasn't been trained. He hasn't been taught at the best schools. Who is he compared to us? The leaders, the establishment, living in fine houses in the city of Jerusalem. And so their reaction to this one who's creating a stir is not very favorable. In fact, the text tells us they want to arrest him and even kill him. That's the response. It's very antagonistic. You want to kill the person. So as the group, they do this, and we might muse, why? Why would there be such a response? Why would we want to injure this individual, kill him? Well, I think only because they themselves feel threatened. They feel challenged. They experience their own, you know, status being threatened. I've been in Jerusalem, and it's interesting, they do archaeological ruins from the first century, and there's a whole section of very fancy terraced houses that they, at that time, were working on, seeing how they lived with beautiful mosaics, and this was in the Jewish quarter. People were living well, and they, the leaders, see this and don't really like it. And so I'm suggesting that their response is one of looking out for themselves. They don't really care about this individual. They want to silence him. And so we can think about our own selves and our own response, because at times we are only concerned about ourselves, and we're not concerned about Jesus at all. We're not concerned even particularly about our faith at all. We're thinking about our own needs and our own advancement, our own power, our own money, whatever it might be. And so we see these religious leaders responding in this selfish way, this egoistic way. What about ourselves? What's our response? Self. And I put down here at the bottom, such a position keeps God at a distance in our lives. If we're only thinking about ourselves, then we're pushing God back. We're pushing Jesus back. I want to live my life. I don't want you interfering. I'll call on you when I need you. Apart from that, just kind of leave me alone. So this is a selfish response. That's the religious leaders. Secondly, we see the others, which this story is told in the other Gospels, and at times it mentions the disciples. So I'm just saying the others, the disciples, but it's a response of calculation. And so the woman has come and has anointed Jesus, right? They're at dinner. And the woman comes in. Gospel of John names her Mary. The others don't. Mary, let's say, comes and anoints Jesus. And there are the others who see it and simply do the math. They calculate. This is a very expensive perfume. She has poured out the entire bottle. Not just a little bit, a bottle worth a year's wages. And the people are doing the calculation, they're doing the math, and they're saying, this is a crazy thing to do. Man, if you're going to do it, just do a little bit. Don't do the whole thing. But at this point, the whole house must just be smelling with this aroma, right? Everybody's smelling it. They don't like it. They're doing the calculations, they're doing the math. But what's interesting about this, so they rebuke the woman, they're angry, they rebuke her, the text tells us. They do all the math, but you know what? Their math adds up to the wrong thing. I find this funny. They do all the math, and they think they have the right answer. And Jesus says, you know what? You have the wrong answer. You do all the sums. You've got the number, but the number's not right. The way you're doing the math isn't right. She's done a beautiful thing for me. She has anointed my body before my burial. She has prepared me. Jesus wasn't prepared. We're going to see that on Sunday. I mean, his body wasn't prepared. They didn't have time. They had to get him right in the grave because of the Sabbath and sundown and so on. This woman, he says, she is anointing me ahead of time. So it's a beautiful thing, Jesus says. You know what? Your math is all wrong. And I find that interesting because at times we can do that, right? We can do all the practical thinking about something. We can have it all work through. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to go through this hoop, that hoop, 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 hoop. Got it all figured out. It doesn't go that way at all. The first hoop, right away we end up with a problem. We knock the hurdle over, right? It's like hurdlers. Boom, one goes over, another one goes over. Finally they trip and scrawl, you know, the whole race is gone. This calculation doesn't do it. We see the story in Matthew, Mark 12, just before this unit, of the widow going through, and Jesus is watching the people who are putting money in the money box, right? And people are looking at all the big gifts. Oh, there's somebody who gave $5 million. Wow, that must be good. Let the whole constituency know we're going to put that. We're going to name a room after them. Everything's going to be great. $5 million. Wow, a lot. An older woman comes by and puts a couple of coins in. Nobody even notices. And Jesus says, you know what? That's the big gift. See, our society, the Christian society, we don't operate that way. Somebody gives the $5 million. We put that in the newsletter and put that all around the place. Wow, somebody gave us $5 million. And Jesus is saying, well, what about the person who put in $10? Because he sees the heart. So our calculation isn't always right. And Jesus says in this situation, the disciples don't have it right. It's wrong. Thirdly, there's the response of Judas. Judas, oh man, what can we say about Judas? Judas, who is a friend of Christ, a friend, we're told betrays him. Betrays him. Betrays him to the religious establishment. And notice their response. They are delighted. They are so happy. This couldn't be better. One of his own disciples is turning him in. Fantastic. See, not even they. They don't even believe in the guy. They're turning on him. It's a very sad story. And Judas weighs it all out. So you see, he's doing the math. He's doing the calculations. He says, well, at least if I do it this way, I can get 30 pieces of silver. That day, that would have been a fair bit of money. I want my 30 pieces of silver. He betrays Jesus. And when we hear that with Judas, I think we do need to pause. We have to ask ourselves, because we all have it in our hearts to act and move away from Christ. If you like, we can all betray Jesus. We can turn away. It's not just him. And so as we move towards Jerusalem, what is our response? What's our heart? I've known people over the years who have followed Jesus for a long time, and then for whatever reason they decide, I'm not doing that anymore. Stop. I'm not following him anymore. In a way, that's an act of betrayal. We're betraying our friend. Jesus is our friend. So what is my response to him? What is my care for him? So that's a third, a hurtful scene, a caution to us all. We can drift away. In the diving world, you know, there are dives called the drift dives. And you jump in off the boat and you just go with the current. You don't have to swim at all. You don't have to kick at all. Drift. You're going to land up a long way from the boat. Particularly if the current's fast, you start drifting faster and faster. You jump in there. You come out way down there because we're drifting. So can be our response to Jesus. That's all way of preparation, because it's coming to the main response, and this is of the woman whose response is one of devotion. And so this one, of course, is the one we want to think where we are at. I will act in a devoted way. And so the woman, we'll call her Mary, comes in, deeply cares for Jesus, has a sense of where this is going. Has a sense. She understands. She sees the crowd. She sees the leadership. This doesn't look good. So she comes in and wants to demonstrate her love, her affection, her devotion, pours out this ointment, probably a family heirloom, probably something that she's received down through the line, maybe waiting for when she's going to get married, part of her dowry. And she decides to sacrifice all that, pours the whole thing out. The disciples critique. If we were in the room, what would we do? If you were in that room, what would you do? Maybe I'd critique. Maybe I'd say, we could have given this money for the poor. Good thing to do. Jesus says it's a beautiful thing what she's done. NIV, NRSV, a good service. But I like a beautiful thing. She's done a beautiful thing. Leave her alone. It's a selfless act. She's giving up something that is of real value for her. It hurts when she does that at some level. Do you have something that you really value? Yay or nay, do you? You know what? I have a gold chain. I have a gold chain that was given to me from my father, and it was my grandfather's. And my grandfather, of all things, Irish, you know, many people in Ireland, are masons. He was a mason. And he's got this mason with this cross that opens up, and it's pure gold, beautifully inscribed. And it sits in a drawer. So I'm telling you where it is, all right? It sits in a drawer in my house, 108 Lloyd Manor. All right, there we go. It's out there. And I often wonder, what am I going to do with this thing? You know what I mean? My dad gave it to me. My dad gave something else to Earl. I forget what Earl got. I got this deal from my grandfather. It's important to me because it's from my granddad, who I met, but as a little baby. I have no memories of any of my grandparents. This is my connection. But I often think, maybe I should just sell this sucker. Cheryl, maybe I get $5,000 for it. I don't know. It's a big, you know, it's a big chain. I haven't come to do that. It still sits in my drawer. Hidden behind my socks. A thief would never look there. I know it. It's behind my socks. They don't look behind socks. Maybe even behind underwear. For sure they're not going there. Anyway. But maybe I'd give it up. So that's what she does. She gives up her heirloom. It's a selfless act. Not only is it a selfless act, it's a reckless act. We've mentioned she pours out the entire bottle. Beautiful. Thirdly, it's an uninhibited act. Get that? She does that in front of the whole crowd. This isn't a private scene. She comes in and does that before everybody. She probably knows that she's going to receive some critique for doing this. This isn't going to be totally acclaimed by everybody because she knows the group. So it's uninhibited. And I love what Jesus says to the folk there. Leave her alone because she did what she could. Both the NIV and NRSV both translate it that way. She did what she could. She did what she could. I like that. That's what she could do. She's not one of the leaders in the city. She's not one of the disciples, but she did what she could, and that's what we're invited to do. On this Good Friday, if we call ourselves Christians, we want to know Him, we want to love Him, then the invitation is, do what you can. She did what she could. Wouldn't it be great to stand before Jesus ultimately, and He says, hey man, hey gal, you did what you could. Woo! I'd love to hear that. Instead of all the things I did wrong, which are many, 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 many. You did what she could, or he did what she could. That's a beautiful line. And of course, that's our invitation then. For you and for me, will we do what we could, can, follow a heart that's devoted? Selfishness, calculation, rejection, devotion. Good Friday, Easter season. So it invites us to think about, you know, our heart. The Jesuits call themselves the group of the Sacred Heart, and they'll have a red heart on their emblem. A red heart, a devoted heart. I have a story, it's a lovely little story. Sad story in some ways. But Jean Vanier, who Bonnie has met, being in his very home in Thésée, wow, France, tells a story about being here in Ontario and going to a home and talking to the mom, and the mom has a child, and the child is not well, and indeed has a form of paralysis. The paralysis is growing. And the mom is sitting beside the child, and she's crying. Mom's crying. Sad, very sad. And the child, by this point, has not much movement left. And the child's response is, "Don't cry, Mommy. I still have a heart that loves my mommy with." I think that's beautiful. Don't cry, Mommy. I still have a heart that loves my mommy with. And so for you and for me, what is our heart? What's our heart relationship with Jesus? Really? Do we love him? Do I still have a heart that loves Jesus? See what I mean? Not just years ago, but now, today. Do I have a heart that loves him? Do I have a heart that's devoted to him? That's what this story is about. Why is this story in the Gospels? Why do we remember this woman's action, devotion? Partly to prompt us 2,000 years later about what is my heart. Do I love Jesus? Do I follow him? It's not just an idea. It's not just a theory. It's not just a religion. It's this relationship. Beautiful. Don't cry, mommy. I still have a heart to love my mommy with. Beautiful insight, from a little child. Wow. Amen.